Glory to God. Hallelujah. Not going to try to hold you too long. I already kind of gave Brother Andy the title of the message. And the message is, don't mess with the light. Don't mess with the light. I was kind of telling how God led me to it. I tried to, you know, children imitate their fathers. And especially after my father got saved, you know, I imitated him. I was young, but I kind of imitate what he did. You know, I liked what he liked. He liked baseball. I began to like baseball. He liked football. I really enjoyed football. He did work around the house. He did the plumbing and those things. And like I was telling Brother Andy, I kind of took it a little bit further because I was a child. I was the mad scientist of the family. You know, when he would get the Drano and he was using it for a specific purpose, you know, I was using it as a plaything, you know, not knowing how dangerous the stuff was. I'd going out, nobody's around, I get the Drano, I'm pouring the stuff in the sink and pouring stuff in there, watching the reactions and things like that. I'm playing with sockets and all of that type of thing. But I remember one time, and he began to teach me things, you know, about electrical things. And, you know, Pastor Gardner asked me one time, what did I know about solder? Well, I watched my father solder circuits together in televisions, and I began to do the same when I got a little older. But as I was younger, you know, you try to do those things, you're not ready. And so I remember one time my father was trying to fix a light, and I guess he ran out of time. So I'm going to go up there and I'm going to fix the light. And I heard that voice saying, don't mess with the light. Don't mess with the light. Come on and give God some praise.
Hallelujah.
We're going to be kind of jumping around a little bit. We're going to start off in the book of James. Turn to James, the first chapter, and we're going to start with the 17th verse. James 1 and 17. Talking about the light. The light tonight. James 1 and 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Every gift, every good gift, our reasoning faculties, the sound mind that we have,
yeah,
the virtuous disposition, that's every good gift that we have. Yeah. That comes from above. Every perfect gift, the pardon of sin that we have, the favor of God that we have, the eternal life that we have, is the perfect gift. It is from above, and it cometh down from the Father of light. It comes from directly from him, and he is the Father of light. He is the Father of not only the natural light that we see, which is good, the sun, but he is also the Father of that intellectual light that we have to walk in. All of that comes forth from him, and there is no variableness in him. What that means is when you compare God, the light, or the Father, God, the Father, the light, with the sun, see, the sun will rise and it will set on you, okay? It will approach you closely during the summer month, but then in the winter months, it'll back away from you, okay? When you need it the most, it'll go down on you. But see, the Father God, who is the Father of light, he does not do that. When he approaches, he is in a fixed position in our lives if you allow him to be. Whenever you need him, he is there. He is there to illuminate. He is there to encourage. He is there to bless you. That's why it is. He's better than the natural light. He's better than the natural light. Why? Because there in him, there is no variableness. There is no turning. He does not change.
Yeah. Right.
He does not change.
Yeah.
He is the Father of not only the heavenly light, but the light, once again, of our reason, that of which we have need of. Now, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift. In other words, only God, only good comes from God.
Right.
Only good comes from God. And only God gives that which is good. He is the source of good. He does not. He is not. In other words, God is not what we used to call an Indian giver. Not an Indian giver. In other words, he gonna give you something good and then take it from you. God don't take it from you.
Now, amen. If you're not careful, your situations and your circumstances will take it from you. Now, here's one. Not even our old one that we used to like to puff up and make so big and so powerful, Lucifer. Not even he can take anything from you. Why? Because the victorious one who defeated him on the cross is within us. That same light is within us, and that light has power. That light has authority. It is greater than anything because he has created all things. Right. Therefore, I'm not worried about Lucifer or what he can do. He can't steal from me either.
Right. Amen.
A lot of folks still think that he is the thief. He's not the thief. He can't steal from you.
Amen.
He can't steal from you. Can't no spirit, can't no alien spirit, I don't care what his name is, I don't care what his rank is, what position he used to hold, what keys he used to hold, can't no spirit deal with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
But it's up to you. Whatsoever a man thinketh, so is he. So is he. Now, let's jump to John, the first chapter. Now, we just got through talking about the Father of lights. Now we're going to talk about a different one. He's the same, but it's just a little bit different. John, first chapter. But keep in mind now, don't mess with the light. Keep in mind, don't mess with the light. John 1 and 4. It says, in him, talking about the Word now. Because in the beginning, the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Father of Light sent this perfect gift. This is also part of that perfect gift, Jesus himself. He sent him into the world. And in him, in the Word, in that light was life, and the light was the light of men. In that light was the life of men. In that light was the fountain of life that we have that comes from God was in him. Now he took upon an earthly form at this time. He took upon an earthly form. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That light shined into the darkness. Once again, now this darkness, we're going to read on here. Ninth verse. 1 and 9. That light was the true light which cometh, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That true light came into the world and shined unto every man. Go back to that fifth verse. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. See, darkness came from, whether you know it or not, it came forth from the man. It did not come forth from Lucifer. It came forth from the man. That's why it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. It was what man was supposed to walk by. The light was what man was supposed to live by. The illumination that God has given each and every one of us. Each and every one of us has an opportunity to walk in the light. I was talking to a coworker, and you know how people do silly things on the job that don't make sense. Well, he said, God made stupid people. I said, no, God didn't make stupid people. God don't make stupid people. I say people choose to be stupid on their own. God has made us all to have the same intelligence, but you allow things to shape your life, and it will cause you to be stupid.
Amen.
It'll cause you to be stupid. Can't blame God on that. God has shined that light of intelligence upon every man. God has given us all sound mind in him. Now, we have to rest in him. We have to stay within him. And how do you do that? You have to stay in the Word.
Amen.
That's how you stay in the light. You stay in the Word. Amen. That light was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh to the world. In other words, no man escapes the light of God. God is the creator of all things, and he has made that light. He has made Jesus Christ to shine unto all men. And men may not recognize it, but they have to acknowledge it. We still do it today with the time. A.D., before Christ and after his death.
Right.
They still acknowledge it. Now, they don't acknowledge the part about him being God because they refuse that.
Right, right.
They refuse that part of it. Why? Because they don't want to walk in it. They don't want to walk in it. Yes. Now,
amen.
In him was that light, the fountain of life. He was that true light, and he shines forth to be seen. He shines forth to be seen through his word, through his illumination. God will reveal himself to you. Why? Because God is interested in each and every one of you. See, a lot of folks think that, well, God only talks to the pastor or to the elder or to the prophet or the evangelist or the apostle. No, God shines to each and everyone. In the same way my blood flows and carries nourishment to each and every one of the cells in it, the Spirit of God passes through each and every part of the body to nourish it, to encourage it, to illuminate with revelation. But you have to bend your ear and your ways to God so that God can speak to you. Let me tell you something. It's just like my father. My father would teach me things, but if he saw that I wasn't in a position to be taught, he would go somewhere and sit down. Go somewhere and sit down and get yourself together. You know, God is not a plaything. He is our father. He is merciful, but he is also a parent. God's a parent. And he don't want us messing with this light. That this light has come and shined forth. Now, we're going to go on here. Let's move on. Go to John 8, 8th chapter. So we're jumping around. I'm not going to be here too long, though. John, the 8th chapter. Eight and 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now we just read where he was the light and the light of men, and the darkness didn't comprehend him. That darkness talking about the old nature. See, Jesus had to face the same thing that we had. The darkness, the old nature, the fact that man does not want to stay in the light. Man wants to mess with the light. Man does not want to walk in the pure light of God's knowledge. He wants to alter it while to fit his own ideas, to fit his own station, to fit what he wants so he can present it for himself. But he's saying, I am the light of this world. He that followeth me shall not walk. In other words, I don't allow conditions of what I feel and what I want to make me move out of the light. Once I do that, I am walking in darkness. He said, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have this light of life. This light that causes me to have eternal life. I shall not walk according to my own feelings, my own thoughts, my own emotions. A lot of times you hear a lot of folks say, I don't feel like doing that. Well, you don't feel like obeying God, okay. But you reap the consequences thereof when you do that.
Yeah.
See, there's consequences for your action. And he's telling you here, he that followeth me, he that walks close to me, he that pays attention to this word so that you know how God thinks. See, God has left how he thinks in the book. So I don't have to ask, I don't have to call into no TV station to find out how he thinks. I don't have to call into a TV station or a radio station to find out how he thinks. God has given me his personal salvation. In other words, he has placed himself within me. Therefore, I have the mind of Christ within me. I have the light, the illumination, the revelation of God's word within me. All I have to do is access it.
Amen.
Don't mess with it, but access it. Amen. Now he says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Also now, this is going to take us, we're going to take a little jump here in a minute. He says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, talking about us, the Gentiles, that we should show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We're to show forth the nature. We're to show forth the character of God. We're to show forth the love, the peace, the joy, the meekness, the long-suffering, the temperance, the goodness. All of those attributes, just like Rev was talking about the attributes of God this morning, that's what we're to show forth. That is walking in the light, and that is following him in the light.
Amen.
That's what we have to do, but not mess with the light. Now, there have been those that have messed with the light. Now, the fruit of God's Spirit is also what he's talking about. That's what I just read. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against Such there is no law of condemnation. God will not condemn me because I am walking according to his purpose. I am walking according to the light that he has provided. I've not walked according to what I feel or what I know, but according to the word, according to the light. Now, the priests, we are the New Testament priests. We are. God has called us forth. We the Gentiles. We are to minister. The Old Testament priests, they took in things to minister out. We minister out what God has placed within us. Man. But you got to make sure, what has God placed within you? Are you certain of it? If it's not the word, if it's your own thoughts and ideas, you better check it. You got a measuring stick. You got the light that will illuminate you and help you minister. Because a lot of folks want to minister, they want to do things with God, but they don't have an idea. If you go to God, God will give you an idea of what he wants you to do.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. They prophesied to me and told me a lot of things that I was going to do. But until I begin to get into this word and study it and find out what God wanted me to do within the word, it don't mean a hill of beans. You'll be waiting until he comes back. You have something to do. You have to walk in the light. You have to walk in that word. The word that was in the beginning, that word is within you right now. That word that created all things is within you right now. That word that sustains all things, that word that is light is in you right now. But be warned, don't mess with the light. Now, the Old Testament priests had a responsibility. They took Aaron and his sons took care of the lampstand. The lampstand. That was the source of light within the temple. They were to go in there and they were to trim those wicks so that the light would burn. See, a lot of times they said, well, the light's not burning right, the oil's messed up. No, the oil which represents the spirit is never messed up.
Right.
It's never messed up. God's spirit never fails.
Amen.
It's we who fail.
Right.
We don't trim those wicks right, then it would produce smoke. Okay, it's not supposed to produce smoke. It's supposed to produce light. Therefore, I have to keep myself trimmed.
Amen.
I have to keep my attitude and my disposition trimmed before the Lord so that when God wants to use me in whatever fashion, that I'm available to be used. I'm not messing with the light. I'm not walking according to I want to be Mr. Big Shot, the next big thing that comes on the Christian scene that's got to be on TV and the radio, unless God wants me there. See, in other words, this is the thing like an earthly job where I want to get to the top. If God's got a position for you, you occupy that position. If there's any exaltation or lifting up, allow God to do it. Don't lift yourself up. Don't mess with the light.
Amen.
Don't mess with the light. So the wicks had to be trimmed. They had to be clean. Charred wick, talking about carnal ambition, would cause the smoke to obscure the light. That would mess with the light.
Yeah.
Mess with the light. Let me get more specific. Go to Romans. Go to Romans. I want you to go to Romans. I'm going to read, and I'm going to read something to you. You're in Romans, that first, I want you to, in the first chapter in Romans, and we're going to be over there in a minute. John 3 and 19 says, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. Remember, the word was the light and the light of men.
Right.
This is the condemnation, that light has come in the world, and men love darkness rather than light.
Amen.
They love their own works and their own deeds rather than the light. And they loved because they were evil. And in the dark, you know, no one could see the light. But see, God, he's in a fixed position. That light is always showing. And sooner or later, those deeds are going to be brought to the light. So once again, don't get so clever. See, that's walking in darkness. When man will place his knowledge up against God, he will place his intelligence up against God to see that he can deceive and trick and do all of these things and walk in the light and figure that he's invisible.
Right.
Thinks that he's invisible and that no consequences come. Oh, God will forgive. Yeah, but you're going to still reap what you sow. Amen. Those laws that God is fixed just like God is, it's not going to move. Right. So therefore, if you walk in darkness, you're going to receive, you're going to reap what darkness up. Now look what happens in darkness. Mushrooms come up in the dark.
Yeah.
But they're not stable. They're soft. Anything could push them over. You walk in darkness, softness. You walk in the light, trees and things, they take time to grow up. That's why don't be in a hurry with a ministry. Allow God to bring forth your ministry. Don't mess with the light. Don't mess with the growth process. Allow God to illuminate you and bring you up.
Amen.
My father told me this one story about when he was coming up in the ministry, and it seemed like people were passing him on the right and on the left. God said, don't worry about them. They got their test coming just like you and your test right now. Their test is coming. He also told him this. He said, I don't use mushrooms. I use oaks. I don't use mushrooms. I use oaks. Oaks take time to come up. They're drinking up that water. The water's the word. And they're growing. They're in that sunlight. They're in that light. And they're growing. And it takes time for God to get you in the position that He wants you to be in. See, we know we all got like I said, when you come into the thing and you don't know about things, I am ambitious, I want this and I want that. But then I had enough sense and I said, you know what, Lord, I know one thing about this. This is your ministry.
Right.
And I don't know what I'm doing with this thing. And I want to make you happy. Therefore, I'm going to get myself out of the way and I'm going to let you do this. Because I know one thing, Pastor Howard used to say all the time, and I believe that, you're going to stand before God and give an account of the deeds done in the body. Amen. What body he's talking about? He's talking about the body of Christ. You're going to give an account of what you did in the body of Christ, because you were already condemned before you got saved. You was already on death row, and that light caused you to be illuminated so that you are no longer on death row. We're into that eternal life. Now, therefore, we're going to be judged by what we do after we come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So you got to be careful not to mess with the light.
Amen.
Now, Romans 1 and 22. It says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image like corruptible man, and to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. They changed the light. They messed with it.
Yeah.
Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. God, what God, see, we, you know, I tell you, we think a fool is a lunatic. In God's eyes, a fool is one that knows the power of God, understands who he is, and then chooses to walk away from it. That's what God considers a fool. That's what he considers a fool. Who is he talking about here? He's talking about the man Adam and his wife. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, that they were to be worshipped. God told him, I want you to create in my image after my likeness. Over there in that fifth chapter, Adam said, I finally got a son in my own image. Meaning that it was his plan all along. Now, I was discussing this morning in the Sunday school class. Yeah, Lucifer showed up. Why? Because Adam spoke out of his mouth and said, for this cause shall a man leave his mother and his father and cleave to his wife. Now, Jesus made that a good thing in the New Testament.
Yeah.
But at the time when Adam spoke it, it was a bad thing. Why? Because who was he talking about leaving? He was talking about leaving the one who came and walked with him every day. He was talking about the one who sustained him. He was the one that told him. They communed together, and God, through him, named all of the animals. God gave him dominion over all the earth. He said, for this cause, I'm going to leave you, God, and I'm going to cleave to this flesh.
Right. Yeah.
So when he said that, Lucifer shows up. Because he didn't have any authority then. All the authority belonged to the man,
right,
whom God gave dominion. He said, have dominion. Right. So the man had dominion.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But the man didn't want to be placed in the garden where God wanted. God already read his thoughts and saw how off the man was. The man was already walking according to his own thoughts and his own ideas. That's why God picked him up and placed him in the garden.
Amen.
He was on probation. Either you gonna walk in the light and walk and eat of this tree of the of life, or you got a choice, the knowledge of good and evil. Now he already had good in him. All he could receive from the tree was evil. What did he learn from the tree? He learned how to disobey God. So God, to preserve him, to give him a chance to be saved, God took him and kicked him out of the garden so that he couldn't eat of that tree and be locked in that state. Because even ate of that tree while he was locked in that state, 100 Jesus couldn't save. That's why he had to be kicked out. Messing with the light. Changing the light. Changing the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image like corruptible man and the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. 25th verse, who changed the truth of God into a lie. They did.
Yeah.
They changed the lie. Why? The word said that God was the only one who was to be worshipped. They changed it so that they were worshipped. Man bowing down to man. And back then, you know, because they look at this flower and they think that was a god. They bow down to it. We're more sophisticated than that. What we do is we know that that don't have any power but our own thoughts and our own ideas. We listen to those. That's what we place those things up against the word of God, and if we feel like it, we yield to those things. I don't feel like loving my brother today. I yield to that. I don't feel like worshiping God today. I yield to that. When your fight is not with Lucifer, Satan, my fight is with myself. Because that darkness still wants to overpower that light. The fight is within me. So I have to bring Tim under subjection to the word of God, to obey the word of God. Sometimes it's like, oh, you tired tonight. It made no difference. I was tired when I went to work. I went to work, therefore I'm going to the house of God. Why? Because that's what I owe my creator.
Yes. Yes.
I owe the one who caused me to walk in this light.
Yes.
So we see here that these people changed. They changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. They messed with the light. They messed with the light. They messed with it by walking in darkness. 21st verse, it says, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They walked away from the light. They messed with it so that all man was thrown into darkness, and Jesus had to come. That is why Jesus had to come to undo the works of the man Adam.
Man.
Because of what his actions put us through, it caused us all to be born into sin. Lucifer didn't have that power. Only the man who was the head of the creation back at that time, the man Adam. That's why when this in the New Testament, it talks about the second Adam.
Right.
Jesus, the second Adam, came to undo the works of the first one. So now that the chains are broken, I can stand. I'm standing at the tree now. Whether I want to choose life, walk in the light, or I can choose to walk in the knowledge of good and evil. What's that tree? My own thoughts, my own ideas. I place them up against the word of God.
Amen.
I'm at the tree. I can no longer blame Adam.
Amen.
Yeah, it was his fault in the beginning, but Jesus has set me free. That light has come into my life, and now I'm a free creature.
Amen.
I'm a new creature. I'm saved. I have the eternal light within me. Why? Because he's taking up his abode with it. But I still have to watch out because this old man likes to creep up. It's there 24/7. It's the one that talks about it. It's the one that tells you when God tells you to do something, it tells you you can't do it.
Right.
He's the one in there.
Right.
He's inside the hedge with you.
Yeah.
That's what you have to understand. He's inside the hedge that God created. Job had a hedge about him.
Right.
And truth be told, Lucifer had to ask God to do all of that stuff to Job. That's why Job said, though you slay me. Job, who knew was attacking him, knew it wasn't the devil. Devil don't have that power. He don't have that authority. Man likes to give him that authority. That's why you have to study the word of God. Because in the word of God, if you break those words down, you will find out that there's two definitions for the word devil.
Yeah.
One is the demon One is the slanderer accuser. Who's the slanderer accuser? The man Adam. When God came down here and asked Adam, what did you do? He said, Lord, the woman that you gave me took of the fruit and gave it to me. If you read on up a little further, up in the scriptures beforehand, you saw that Adam was there with her, watching the whole scene. Because he wanted to get out. He heard God say that you eat of this, you're going to die. He used his wife as a guinea pig.
Come on, come on.
When she didn't drop dead, he said, oh, okay, I can eat. See, the thing is, we want to put all of that on Lucifer. The diabolical one is the man Adam.
Right.
He was smarter than any creature that God had created. Why? Because he was created to house the very intelligence, the light of God. Man. Nothing's greater than that. You know, alien spirit greater than that.
Man.
We have the power of the universe contained within us. The very one who created everything is residing in us.
Yeah.
Don't mess with the light.
Man.
Let's go. We're going to look at one more who messed with the light. Go to Genesis. Tenth chapter. We're going to read about him right quick and then we're going to jump. Genesis, 10th chapter. And the 8th verse. And Cush begat Nimrod. And he began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. Now, this man Nimrod, it sounds like he's saying that from the way it's worded here that he hunted for God. It's not saying that. It's saying that he hunted the people of God. He was a mighty hunter. He was mighty before the Lord in defiance. He defied God. He was a type that said that your blessings don't belong to this God that you can't see. Your happiness and your blessings are because of me. Trying to offer the light. Mighty in wickedness before the Lord. Tell you how bad this guy got. Go to the 11th chapter. Chapter of Genesis. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. It came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they made, and they had brick for stone and slime for mortar. And slime had they for mortar. It's called bitumen. Bitumen. Okay? And it's so tenacious that today it's almost impossible to detach. Some of those old pyramids and stuff, they use that, and that's what holds those things together, and they're still being held together.
Right.
Let you know about the knowledge of man, even though he was considered primitive back then. And they said, fourth verse, and they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach under heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Now, that's a direct contrast what he told Abraham. He said, Abraham, I will make you a name. I will make you the father of many nations. This man said, let us make our own name. Let us go and build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Let us go down and therefore confound their language that they understand not, that they may not understand one another's speech.
Yeah.
Now, what were they up there doing? Once again, we're talking about the light.
Yeah.
When man fell, God had already established the word of God. There's always been the word. Now, I ain't talking about Jesus coming forth, but God put the word in the constellations that when man fell, he could look up in the stars and see that a redeemer was coming.
Amen.
What was up there? The zodiac. Those 12 constellations. 12, the number of the government of God. That's why it's 12 stars, 12 tribes. That number belongs to God. God put that up in there in those constellations. You can read over in Psalms of how they turn each and every day that you could see in what period of time God wanted you to know that the Redeemer was coming. I'm going to send one that's going to save you. They went up there to try to alter it. They tried to mess with the light. The natural light that God has sent forth to bless man. That's how Jude and those, and that's how Enoch was able to prophesy. He didn't prophesy out of his own self. He saw the word of God, and the word of God, the spirit of God moved upon him to prophesy against those wicked people at that day.
Amen.
That's what Joseph saw when he's talking about the 11 stars, him being the 12 that was going to make homage to him. It was the word of God. They went up there to alter it. So God said, let us go down and therefore confound their language that they may not understand of one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad thence from the face of the earth and left, and they left off. They couldn't complete it. God stopped them.
Right.
Why? Because they were going to mess with the light. Yeah. Don't mess with the light.
Amen.
Don't mess with the light. Now I'm going to close with this. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew, 5th chapter. We're in the close. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Matthew 5 and 14. This is Jesus speaking. He said, ye are the light of the world. He called himself the light. He shared that light amongst that eternal light. Now he calls us the light.
Yeah.
A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. He has made us so that we are to reflect the glory of God. Wherever you go, on your job, in your home, if you go to another country, you are to allow that light to shine. A city he has set, in other words, a city that's set on a hill can't be hid. God has made you to be seen so that that light can be shined unto other men. Why? Because chances are, sometimes you're the only Jesus that they're going to see.
Amen.
And if you mess with that light, if you cause it by your attitude, cause that light to be dimmed, they may not be able to make it into heaven. And their blood going to be on your hands.
Amen.
We are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a basket, but on a candlestick. And it gives light unto all those that are in the house. Whoever is in our vicinity has to be able to see the light of God from your life.
Amen.
That's why I have to check myself to make sure my attitude is right. Brother, he was talking about looking for a car. I told y'all some of that stuff I went through with mine. And you have to continue to walk in patience. You have to continue to walk in love. When I was going through with my car, I told somebody, I'll tell the rest of you. Pastor found a good mechanic. Okay? And the guy was good, gave cheap prices. Well, the last time we went over there together, he gave me bad news. I had just got my radiator done. You know, then the water pump goes out. Well, the water pump's tied up all with the timing chain. So I don't have this money. I'm like, oh, man, God gave me a break, paid the man. So the water pump worked for a day, then it blew out again. I take it back. Calling my man, he told me I would go come to pick the car up. This was on December 8th. Called him the next day, no answer. Called him the following day, no answer. Called him the next day, no answer. Called him the end of that week, no answer. Go over to his house, can't find him. This goes on for more weeks and weeks. Now my job might be in jeopardy because if you need a job where I work at, you need a car. Because I work at a big complex cleaning and you got to have a car to do it. Well, the favor of God allowed me to keep my job. In other words, a lot of times the light of God will help you and it will illuminate you even though you don't know it.
Right.
The man called me in there and I believe he thought it was going to be a trick question. And he asked me, would I do snow removal? I said, yeah. I just answered, yeah. Now, I didn't know how I was going to get out there to do it. Because they want you to come in extra early to do that. They want you to be there at 6. The earliest I can get there is 8. Why? Because I had to catch 3 or 4 buses to get out there. Okay? 10-minute walk to catch the first bus. Did 3 more. And then I had a 20-minute walk from the mall where it left me off out to the job site. Walk all day. And then, like I say, circumstances. I've recently become diabetic. Now I'm having all kinds of muscle spasms every day. Walking. You talking about depending on God and calling on God in that midst of that pain. Not having no answer. Where my car? I'm asking the Lord, where's my car? Lord, my car. But you know what? In spite of all that, I still began to give God some praise because I knew He wasn't the one that took the car. He would, you know, Lord, I'm depending on you because you're the only answer I got. You the only strength I got, Lord. You got to help me. Because, baby, I was in pain. A lot of times I'd be knocked out on that bus until I got to the end of the stop. Then you got to stand there and wait. The day after Christmas, after we had the Christmas service, I didn't get home till 11:30 that night after getting off work about 6 or 7. Because the buses quit showing up. Meantime, no answers, no answers, no answers. I'm still calling him every day. Every weekend, I'm going over to the man's house. And then Pastor said, one day, it was his anniversary. He said, let's go over there. He said, no, the Lord said, no, don't go over there. Wait till nighttime. Wait till nighttime to go over there. So we dropped his daughter off, and then we went over there. He was there. Hey, Jason, what happened, man? I just got out of jail. He'd been doing repairing cars in the residence. The neighbors didn't like it, so they called on him. So the judge gave him a choice, $2,500 or 45 days in jail. He didn't have the money, so he went to jail. Meantime, you got all these people in your ear. Where's your car? Where's your car? I do this. I cuss them out. I do that. And you got to hold your peace. You know, you got to keep doing the right thing. You got to continue to walk in the light in spite of what you feel and what your body is telling you that you're not going to make it. And it's cramping up and all of these other things. And it's cold outside and you getting beat up by those winds. You still have to walk in the light. You still have to let the patience of God, the nature and the character of God illuminate and show others that this is not about you, that it's about God in spite of what you're going through. That's what walking in the light is. Now, why that happened to me, I don't know. Sometimes God will tell you when tests are coming. He will tell you. I was telling them about when I lost the best job I ever had. God let me know, test is coming. This one was nothing. I don't know. This one, like, it dropped out. You know how, where you look at movies, okay? You look at a horror movie, and at the end, the hero to save the day and all of this stuff. And then at the end, just right, they get ready to ride off in the sunset. Here come the monster comes back, and now you got the next sequel. Well, that's what I felt like. It's like, bam, no answer. God's not saying nothing. Well, he just said, all is well. Okay, well, you know, like the widow woman. I'm like, okay, you with her son. Okay, but her son died, God. her son died. Okay, I mean, you said all is well. But, I'm just saying, I'm being serious. Because when you go through, your mind wanders, and it will take you places. You've got to keep your mind on track by the word of God. That's what it means by walking in life. So in other words, I didn't get to the point where I'm blaming God. Lord, your prophet ain't no good because he told me this, and the word ain't come through, and my car ain't here. Because that's where the flesh will take you.
Amen.
It will take you out of the light because of your situation and your circumstance. You cannot allow situations, circumstances, people, or any kind of thing to cause you to walk out of the light. Because God's got an answer for you. Now, eventually, I got my car back.
Hallelujah.
I know Pastor's happy. Because thank God. You know what? I give people some props. Because Pastor came over here and made sure that I was here on my post of duty to teach this Sunday school class. Pastor would come over and make sure I was here. Now, sometimes he'd go home and be knocked out. Pastor preach hard. I call Pastor. He's knocked out. Sister Arnice had to take over the choir and do the rehearsal because he was out. But he made sure I was here. And he didn't grumble. He didn't complain about it. He was there to help you. See, that's what the body of Christ is all about, to help one another when you get in trouble. You may not be able to help them physically like he was, but you can help people with your prayer and with good attitude and shaking hands and hugging their neck. That's how you can encourage people. Why? So that you can carry on the mission. Because sometimes it gets hard to carry on the mission of God without help. That's what the body is there for. It's there to strengthen. Because when you go out there in that world tomorrow, you're not going to find many friends.
Right. Amen.
You're going to find plenty of why you go to that church. When Pastor Howard, ain't he white? People ask me that. I said, wait a minute, didn't God create all men? So then what difference does it make about whether a man is black or white? Remember now, we're that chosen generation. In other words, I'm no longer black once I begin baptized into the body of Christ. I'm Jesus now. I'm Christ. We're all Christ together. It doesn't make any difference where you come from, what culture, what background, how much money you got in your pocket. We're all baptized into one body. Christ is the head. He is the one who joins us together. He's the one that strengthens us. He's the one that keeps us together. He's the one that keeps us walking in the light.
Man.
Come on and give God some praise. We're done.
Amen.